I will read the texts for our pastor's sermon this morning, which is the current of the Holy Spirit. 1 Joel 2, verses 28 and 29. Then afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves, in those days I will pour out my spirit. And from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. When I come to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Pastor Steve, may God bless you as you share with us.
Good morning, everybody. I have my Pentecost Tongues of Fire tie on today, so I'm all ready to share with you. This Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate the Holy Spirit coming upon the church initially, but trust that the Holy Spirit's continuing to flow in our midst to empower us for God's service and to turn our hearts towards the living God. I want to just read the beginning of the description of the Holy Spirit in our confession of faith. It says, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the eternal Spirit of God, who dwells in Jesus Christ, who empowers the church, who is the source of our life in Christ, and who is poured out on all those who believe as the guarantee of our redemption and of the redemption of all creation. The Holy Spirit. This morning we're following along with some of the material from Leader Magazine, worship resources, and there's some articles in there. And I was reading through and I came upon this page and it says current. And I thought, what a great metaphor or imagery for the Holy Spirit. And I thought of ways that the Holy Spirit is like a current. And then I read on and what did this, it's an article about some new intergenerational worship material that's being put out. It has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. And so for a while, I think for a day, I dropped the idea of current. And I don't know why, but because this article wasn't about the Holy Spirit, I just dropped that imagery of the Holy Spirit. But then the next day, I thought, well, that's perfect, and that's what I want to say. And so this morning, we're going to think about the Holy Spirit as current. And in two ways especially. One is the idea of movement. When there's a current of water, like in the picture there. By the way, that's from our vacation in Oregon, on one of our hikes. But with water flowing, obviously there's movement. Another way to think about current is the idea of power. The more powerful the current is, like in water, the more power is generated. But also, you could think of it in other ways, the current of electricity. Right now, we're working at organizing our home, downsizing. We're trying to move it from a house filled with things for a family of five to a family of two. And so we're finding all these things and making decisions. Do we keep this or not? And one of the decisions is some of these things aren't working anymore because the batteries have been corroded, blocking off the current. So they're not working. So I'm doing some, you know, getting out the white vinegar, cleaning off the terminals, trying to get the current to flow. And so we're trying to salvage this kids game, electronic kids game for our grandkids, and this camping lantern, trying to get it to actually work because the current's flowing. And so if we think about the current of the Holy Spirit, it's the power of God, that we might live for God and accomplish His purposes. So let's think about those two things today, movement and power. April, can you go to the next one? Is there a second one? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. It looked like the same picture, so I was thinking it was different. So the Holy Spirit, creating movement and energizing God's mission. That's what we're focused on today. In Acts chapter 2, it's the story of Pentecost, and the disciples are all gathered together. Jesus had told them, just wait here in Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. Stay together and wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And so when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rushing of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared among them and rested on each one. And so all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. And so we have this empowering. And then there's a movement. In this case, there's movement from that room where they were gathered. It's spilling out onto the streets. So they go out onto the streets of Jerusalem. Pentecost we think of as a Christian holiday where the Holy Spirit comes. But Pentecost was a Jewish festival where it was filled with pilgrims there who had made this journey to Jerusalem. So these devout Jews from every nation were there in Jerusalem, and they were bewildered because all of a sudden these Galileans spill onto the street, and these people were hearing these Galileans speak in their native languages. And amazed and astonished, they asked, "Aren't all these people speaking Galileans?" I was listening this week to a sermon on YouTube about Pentecost, and it was Alistair Begg. And if you know him, he's Scottish. Really distinct accent, you know. And for me, I don't know if you're like this. Whenever I hear somebody preaching in English, Scottish, Irish, South African, Australian accent, somehow it's more powerful to me. Like, I'm drawn to that. I'm not sure why, but for Alistair Begg, he says, you know, I have this distinct accent. And the Galileans did as well. If you remember Peter, when he was hanging out, when Jesus was arrested, and people are saying, aren't you with him? You're a Galilean, you know, and maybe partly that was the way that he spoke. But here were these Galileans, maybe with a distinct kind of accent, but they're speaking in all these different languages. And Luke mentions at least 15, depending on how you break down that list. So at least 15 languages are spilling out onto the street. And what they're doing is they're speaking about God's power. We don't know exactly what they said, but somehow they're speaking forth by the power of the Spirit, God's power. One way that we might understand what they're saying is to look at then what Peter says when he gets up and he addresses the crowd. And he says things in particular. One is letting them know that this Jesus, whom they were well aware of and who was crucified, has been raised from the dead. There's the resurrection of Jesus was proclaimed. And also that he's now ascended on high at the right hand of the Father, and he's Lord of all. And also that he's pouring out gifts upon his people, of which you can clearly see in what's going on today in proclamations that are being made in all these different languages. And so as Peter goes on, he quotes from Joel, and the prophet Joel says, "In the last days you will see these various things." And my understanding of the last days is the times from Jesus' resurrection and when he ascends back to heaven to when he comes back again. So that we're in these last days. Maybe they increase in intensity towards the end, but in these times, between Jesus going back to heaven and returning to bring his people home. And if you read this prophecy of Joel, which Peter quotes, you get the sense of it's a time of turmoil. He talks about portents in heaven and signs on earth, blood and fire and clouds of smoke, but a time of turmoil. And we can look around and say, yeah, we live in days of turmoil. There's much upheaval throughout the world. But it's also a time that God's pouring out his Spirit, where God is establishing his purposes that he began in Jesus and now continues through empowering his church to continue this mission. The Holy Spirit continues to be at work to bring God's redeeming purposes to life. And we can see this, first of all, in this story doesn't begin with Jesus' birth. God has been working to redeem all creation since the fall, way back. We read in Genesis 3. But there's this heightened work of God to bring about his redeeming purposes as he sends his son Jesus to this world. And I was reading, I started reading the book of Luke this past week. And it's interesting when you read scripture in light of other things that are going on in your life. And so I'm reading Luke 1, also being aware of Pentecost and this, the message of today. And I found that Luke is really explicit, is really clear about the Holy Spirit being at work to accomplish all the things that are being accomplished in this story. For example, the angel comes to Zechariah while he's doing his work in the temple. And he talks about the fact that he's going to have a son, which we would know as John the Baptist. And the angel says about John the Baptist, "Many will rejoice at his birth. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. Before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit's at work to be bringing about these events. And then the angel Gabriel goes to see Mary and talks about the son that she will bear. And Mary asks, you know, how is this going to take place? The angel says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child that is born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." The Holy Spirit at work. And then finally, as Mary and Elizabeth meet, these two mothers in this story, John, as we're told, is filled with the Holy Spirit from before his birth, leaps when he comes in the presence of Jesus in Mary's womb. And the Holy Spirit empowers Elizabeth to proclaim. Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, says, "Blessed are you, Mary, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." So just even in the beginning of the story, Luke reminds us that the Holy Spirit is the power at work here, moving things towards God's intended purposes. And then we keep going with the story of Jesus. He's baptized. He's the Holy Spirit comes upon him and he's sent out in ministry. He comes before his hometown synagogue and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord has come upon me, anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor and recovery of sight to the blind and freedom for the captives and the releasing of heavy loads from those who are oppressed." Jesus goes to the synagogues and the temple, but then the Spirit also propels him out to the margins of society to share good news with them as well. The Holy Spirit fills Jesus with a sense of humble obedience that he continues on this journey to the cross. Jesus is raised from the dead, he's exalted, and he'll return again. And so we see this movement of bringing forth God's purposes by the power of the Spirit. People are moving towards Jesus, and then people are being sent out from Jesus as changed people, and they're impacting other people. "You'll be my witnesses here in Jerusalem. You'll be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Movement and power by the Holy Spirit. So that's the story we read about in Scripture. And so I'd just like to turn now and say, so what does this mean for us as the church today, the followers of Jesus who are filled with his Spirit. Like in the days of Pentecost, we can get caught up in the current of the Holy Spirit and not be fully in control of that. But not in a way, maybe some of you have been caught up in currents where you lost control and it's dangerous. A rip current or an out of control river or stream. I would call this, I had a phrase for it. I lost my Well, it's a good current. There's a better word for it, but it's a good current. Even though we aren't fully in control of what's going on here. And so the challenge for us is if we're not the source of new life in us, if we trust that the Holy Spirit is doing this work in us, through us, all around us, like what's our role? And what I would suggest is that we position ourselves so that the Holy Spirit catches us in this current, empowers us and sends us and moves our hearts and all that we've been saying here. The other week in Youth Sunday School, we were talking about different spiritual disciplines, prayer and Bible reading, solitude, fasting, all these different things. And one way that it was described, is that when we do those things, we're lifting up a sail, or we're extending out a sail, allowing God's voice to catch us and move us, you know. And so it's not our power that's doing this, but what we're doing is we're positioning ourselves so that God can move in our lives. So in this case, the disciples, Jesus said, stay here, just wait. It would have been 10 days, I guess. He was ascended on the 40th day after his resurrection, and Pentecost was the 50th day. So for these 10 days, they were just waiting there. They were praying. They were just anticipating what was going to happen. They positioned themselves, and the Spirit moved, caught them, and kind of took them along in this current of what God was doing and empowered them to follow God's faithful leading. And so we lift up these sails to catch the current as we yield ourselves to God. With this idea of movement, it challenges us that for our individual lives and for our church life, things aren't meant to be static or stagnant, but somehow there's always a sense of movement, and new empowerment, new possibilities with God. This is what Stanley Green says. This is in one of those articles from Leader Magazine. He asks the question, are we settling for a static understanding of the church, focusing on buildings and our traditions? Or do we locate ourselves as a people animated by the dynamic, recreating power of the Holy Spirit, as a people who are on our way, we're on the way towards God's vision? We're not stuck somewhere. We're not just kind of circling and repeating, but somehow God's moving our hearts and moving our ministry to one another and to the world. And so just a couple thoughts of how this movement happens, how this empowering happens. One is that it's a movement within us. It's a stirring within each one of us. Not just that the Holy Spirit is nudging us and guiding us towards Jesus, which is true to this place of fellowship with God. But also, when Peter finished his message on this day of Pentecost, the people, it says, were cut to the heart, and they asked, what should we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized. You know, and repent is a word that really turns your life upside down. Repent is to change the way you see things, or let God change the way you see things. Seeing things from his perspective and allowing your life to turn in whatever direction God is leading it. And so the movement of the Spirit within us, as we repent in little and big ways, is to really turn things upside down and lead us in new directions. And so this personal new movement, or even within the church, in the same way as we feel maybe a sense of contentedness, or as we feel like we're just kind of recycling our religious practices, as we really repent and turn towards the Lord, there's this real possibility of change and new directions and empowering by God for us as His people. Also, the movement is the Holy Spirit that moves us towards other people. The day of Pentecost, there's, and this early church, there's these people from all these different nations, all these different people groups coming together as one. They didn't share a lot maybe in common, but their common faith really bonded them together. And they were reformed as the people of God. And so likewise, the Holy Spirit allows us as God's people, even in our diversity, to move together, to move towards one another. And I think back to Carl McKinney's message to us several months ago, where that was his challenge to recognize our distinctive, the distinctiveness of each one of us, to hear each other, to value each other, and to be united together in faith and in ministry. But then also the Holy Spirit moves us towards other people as well, that we can look out and we can see other people as God sees them, that they are image bearers of God, that they have value, that maybe they can even join us on this journey of faith. And then just one final way to think about how today we can be moved and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Just as the people in our story were sent forth on a mission, likewise, we're sent forth to minister in the name of Jesus, to continue His ministry and His mission in this world. And I'll just remind you of what Paul said in our scripture reading that Janet read. When I came to you, I didn't come with eloquent words. I didn't come with human wisdom. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. I just resolved to share Jesus and Him crucified. And I trusted in a demonstration of the Spirit's power. As I was just faithful to try to share these words, I trusted that the Spirit would move in the midst and through those words. So your faith wouldn't rest on my human wisdom that I'm sharing with you, but you would see the Spirit's power and be convinced of that. And so I just want to close with a couple thoughts again that come from the readings in the magazine. Just an encouragement for us. We don't have to depend on our resources when witnessing to the good news in word and deed. Rather, we can reiterate the liberating truth that we are not the principal agents of God's mission. The Holy Spirit is. Instead, we are the channels, the instruments of the Holy Spirit used to touch the hearts and lives of all those people that we encounter along the way. Thought. Pentecost is an opportunity to reaffirm that we can be freed from our anxiety as well as our excessive pride. It's not about what we do, our plans, our strategies, our vision statements. In the end, it's about God's work through the Holy Spirit to which we bear witness through our faithful actions. And I just wrote down this quote from one of our songs. We are your church. We are the hope on earth. You know, this week we've been filled with, again, with violent stories of murders but can the church be like those millions of butterflies that somehow together we make a difference in this world somehow in the midst of all this turmoil? Can we be the hope of Christ here on earth as the Spirit moves, as the Spirit empowers us? As we go from here this morning, let's open up our sails, make ourselves available, yield ourselves so that the Spirit can catch us and move us in the currents of God. So may the Spirit give us strength for that as we go.